What comes to mind when they hear the word Christian? And you know what they said? No love and judgment. The woman at the well, the woman that was caught in adultery, Zacchaeus, how did they start to change? He never told them how wrong they were, but in his presence, they changed. So we don't have to say a word, I believe, but if we say we are believers, we carry his presence. Can we trust the Holy Spirit to do the work even in the background? And all we do, we listen to them, we love them, we invite them to our homes, we become that safe place for them and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that you and I cannot do in any way.
This is the Holy Wit Podcast, a place where we take a deep dive off the pulpit and into the muddy waters of everyday living. A place where you will hear real life stories from regular everyday people who are trying to follow the basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Let's remove the fluff and the mask and talk about the things most people avoid. And today, we will continue our conversation with Wilna van Beek, speaker and author of the book, When Gay Comes Home. Let's take a moment to remind ourselves where we left off from the first part of this conversation.
What do we do as a church, and how do we minister to people and stuff like that? Well, number one, it starts with you and I, and it's not complicated, but we need to go back to the basics. You and I and everybody listening to this podcast need to answer one question, just one. How do you view the LGBTQ community? Are you their judge or their advocate? And when we are their advocate, it doesn't mean we affirm everything that they are doing. We become their advocate for their souls, for their hearts, because that is what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. Because Jesus says, I don't want anybody to perish. So that question that I just asked, if you are not their advocate, and if you are their judge, we have to repent. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. The church needs to repent for how we have dealt with this in the past. And they will say, oh, yeah, we have repented. No, we are not done repenting. We haven't done being humble about how we mistreat members of the LGBTQ community. That's where it starts. So what is coming up in your heart? How do you see them? How do you view them? And if there's anything less than looking at them through the lenses of Jesus, then I would say to you, the listener, ask the Lord to help you put the Jesus glasses on. And that's what I describe in my book. Look at people through the lenses of Jesus. And that's where we start. And that's simple, right? Yeah. It's not complicated.
No.
My same-sex attractions only went away when I was 50. What if people all gave up on me? What if they stopped praying for me? And this is what I say to the church. We need to become that hospital.
Can we trust Holy Spirit to do the work that we cannot do anyway? Isn't that where we complicate things when we take over what God is doing? God gives us people to love. He tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Then we step in and complicate it by trying to fit others into a mold that makes them just like us. God didn't instruct us to change people. That's His area. He asks us simply to love our neighbor. How complicated is that? And this is where we will pick up the rest of our conversation.
No, it's not complicated, but I think we can't get over ourselves. So right. We're uncomfortable with even starting a conversation. Because there's the other side, Wilna, where they're like, if a Christian's going to talk to me, if somebody else is going to talk to me, they're already thinking that you're coming at them from a spirit of judgment. So how do you break through? What would you say to somebody like me who wants to have these conversations? I don't think I know nearly enough people with same-sex attraction. I want to get to know them, not because I want to heal them, but because, like you said, I want to be their advocate. Yeah. I want to lead them in ways as the Lord provides for me. If the Lord says this is who you're going to lead. If not, I just want to love them as a person, as a child of God, yeah. as a human that they are, right. whether they have a belief in Christ or not.
Right.
So then, but most people know where I stand, and they know that I'm strong. Some people will say I'm highly opinionated, and they wouldn't be wrong, right? But I personally don't want to come across as judgmental, so I'll shy back from those relationships or those conversations a lot of times because I don't want to give the wrong impression.
Yeah, but you know, you this is a loaded question, actually. you know, isn't that the saddest thing that when people know that we are Christian, they are already shying away because they think we're going to judge. You know, a year or two ago, I was sharing a platform at a big conference in Calgary or Edmonton, the big, I don't remember what is the name of the conference, but anyway, one of the speakers that I shared the podium with had done a research. They asked a group of LGBTQ persons what comes to mind when they hear the word Christian. And you know what they said? No love and judgment. Yeah. And so you are asking me, okay, so how do we overcome this? Because immediately, if people know that you are a Christian, well, number one, I never tell a person that I'm a Christian because I just listened to Joyce Myers the other day, and she said, you should never tell people that you are a Christian, but within the first 8 or 10 minutes of a conversation, they should just pick up on how you say and how you laugh and how you just portray yourself that you are a Christian. I have a problem when people go, oh, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm a Christian. I do not recommend that. So one of the things that I found making a bridge is when I have conversations with people who are in total opposite views than myself, and many times they will share with me how Christians have hurt them and what they have said, and they have been judgmental or stuff like that. You know what I do? I just tell them, I am so sorry how we have misrepresented Jesus. And oftentimes I have found that's a bridge that is starting to pave a way into their hearts. And this is why my book is called When Gay Comes Home, Learning to Build Bridges. A bridge is not built in one day, but we need, as the church, we need to know these little building blocks step by step. And here we come back again by what I shared earlier. Humble ourselves. The Bible teaches us in, where is that verse? 2 Chronicles 7:14 is when Jesus talked about, or God talked about, my people, if they will humble themselves and repent and turn from their wicked ways, He says, then I will hear and I will forgive them and I will heal their land. It doesn't start with the people who are living and practicing a lifestyle that is against the Bible. It starts with you and I. Again, humility starts with us I have so many stories of how the Lord had taught me to humble myself. Oftentimes, we want to wait for the other person. Well, he made the mistake, or he said that, I'm not going to say anything. But if we can humble ourselves, that makes a way. And I believe, do you know Bob Jones? He was a prophet.
I've heard of him, yes.
Okay. Just before he passed away, the Lord said this to him to share with the church. And it's about the LGBTQ community. And my ears, when I hear the word LGBTQ, I usually pay attention. This is what the Lord said to him to share with the church. He said, the LGBTQ community is not coming back to the church yet because the church is not ready. And so this is your and my challenge. How do we become ready? Mm-hmm. So basically, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Our world is broken around us. We have messed up. We have messed up. Maybe I'll explain it this way. We need to learn how to show grace and truth together. Because for decades and decades and decades, I explain it in this form of a train track. If one track is missing, what's happening to a train?
It's not going anywhere.
A train wreck. Because if one track is missing and if the train goes, it's going to go off the rails. For decades and decades, the way we have dealt with this topic in the church, we only shared truth. And yes, we need to share truth, but we shared it without grace. So we had a train wreck. We have an LGBTQ community today because of that. They left the church because they found love and acceptance elsewhere. Now, many churches have seen and recognized the mistake that we have made, because we made a mistake. It's a mistake. We have pushed them away instead of draw them closer. So now, unfortunately, many churches are going and they only share false grace messages. It's like, oh, God is a God of love. You can marry whoever you want. So now we leave the truth out. We have another train wreck. So how do we do this together? And this is what I write in my book. We need to learn to put the Jesus glasses on. Learn from Jesus how he would deal with people who are not living a life that is supposed to be according to the Bible. How did Jesus do that? The woman at the well, the woman that was caught in adultery, Zacchaeus, how did they start to change? He never told them how wrong they were, but in his presence, mm-hmm. they changed. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to say a word, I believe, but if we say we are believers, we carry his presence. Mm-hmm. Can we trust the Holy Spirit to do the work even in the background? And all we do, we listen to them, we love them, we invite them to our homes, we become that safe place for them and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that you and I cannot do in any way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's awesome.
Can we say amen? Is that simple enough? And yet it is so complicated because we got to learn. I got to learn day by day. Say, Lord, in this situation, I want to be your ambassador. Help me, because I cannot do this on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to take off how the world has told us a Christian looks like and how a Christian lives. And we've got to, like you said, come back to the basics, go back to the word. How did Jesus deal with it? Because it's not just the people that he healed. You look at his 12 disciples. He had a tax collector. That was the shame of the people there. And he invited a tax collector to walk with him. He had Peter, who had no filter.
Right. Right?
Yes. He had John and James, who were ready to beat up anybody that didn't accept Jesus' yes. message. Like, he had this band of unlikely brothers. And look at what happened when they lived in his presence 24/7 for a time. Just how it transforms. But you're right. When we carry the presence of Jesus, our lives are transformed no matter what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
It can be same-sex attraction. It can be mental torment of a different area, of a different yes. attitude. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, I've spoken to a couple people about things that I've gone through. And I remember a few of them didn't know how to deal with the abuse that I grew up with. So they would, you know, I'd see them start to distance from me. And I thought, wow, how much more, no matter how much I felt hurt over those, how much more must somebody else who has same-sex attraction, that seems to be this hot topic these days, feel ostracized and hurt from that yeah. kind of behavior? Where you're right, as Christians, we should be known by our love. That's what the Bible tells us. We should be known by our love absolutely. And how we treat one another. And so I want to say, rise up, church, rise up, people of God. Let's get over ourselves and get connected, reconnected with Jesus and yes. how we're supposed to be, what our hearts are supposed to be like. And if our hearts aren't open enough to include people, no matter what their issues are that we're not comfortable with, then we got to take a step back and we got to ask God to examine our own hearts.
Yes. You know, David, I love David. You know, God said he was a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
And we know David. He was quite the guy, right?
Yes.
But then he says in Psalm 51, he says, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering and steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And then verse 13 says, he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. So David says, start with me first. Change my heart. Create a clean heart and a clean spirit in me first. Because how can I tell somebody else how bad they are before my own heart is not clean before you? And we go back again. Humility. God, deal with my own heart first and foremost. You know, the ministry that I lead used to be called When Gay Comes Home. So it was the title of my book. But the Lord prompted me about 2 years ago to change the name of the ministry to God Gazers Bridge Builders. Mm-hmm. And actually yesterday I just shared this with a young gay person who I journey with. And because I teach people who reach out to me, or people reach, well, whether it's gay or anybody, it's like, take your eyes off of your problems or your things that you struggle with. Become a God gazer. Because, you know, that song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because when we can take our eyes off of these things and put it on Jesus, well, number one, he's going to teach us how to live. And then suddenly all these other things are either going to fade away or they're going to go away. And so I teach young people, I said, give God 1 year of your life and you will never be the same again. So how do you think will the world change if we as Christians do just that? There's so many Christians today, they don't even read their Bible. They don't even pray. And so we want to tell the world how to live. And we ourselves, there's no intimacy between us and God. And from that place and that place only can we build bridges.
Mm-hmm.
From that place of gazing upon God. We need to learn even what gazing upon God means. And people can go on my website. godgazers.com and they can look at what does it mean to be a God gazer. But from that place, we become bridge builders and not building walls. We need to stop building walls. You know, one book that I haven't read, but I don't think I will read it, because the title of the book says it all. Rosaria Butterfield is a former atheist lesbian who was transformed by the power of God. She wrote a book with the title, The Gospel Comes with a House Key.
I like that.
Can we invite people to our homes? Can we just be Jesus to them, feed them, talk to them, listen to them, love them, not telling them how bad they are? Can we just host them? Can we just hang out with them? Because that's what Jesus did. He was hanging out with sinners, with anybody, and they changed in his presence. We are then the light, the salt and the light. They see, wow, look at how she lives. Watching us, they become thirsty. We are that living water. As we do that, we become that living water that God talks about in John. When he spoke to the woman at the well, he said, if only you will become that fountain, it will just bubble over and it will start to quench the thirst of those who are listening and watching you. Again, it's not simple. It's simple biblical truths that can we just ponder on it? Can we just say, Lord Jesus, help me. That's who I want to be, that conduit, that carry your presence to everyone around me, day by day, moment by moment, wherever I go.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think all too often where the church gets stuck is they get stuck in a program.
Oh, yeah.
We need to have these programs. And so then it makes people feel like they're an agenda and a project. And we got to get away from that and just start relating to people again.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole thing is about, like the whole Christian lifestyle, the whole topic of bringing this up. How can we begin to relate to one another and remove those labels that divide?
Yes. Yeah. So I host, we call it Cope to Hope support groups. So it's mostly for people whose loved ones have either come out, but it's basically for anybody who journey with a loved one who is a prodigal. Doesn't matter what is the issue. And so just Monday night, we had a meeting. And, these meetings are pretty painful, to say the least, because people come with their pain, and then we talk about it. But here's the thing that I tell to parents, because I get lots of emails, lots of phone calls. People say, Vilna, my son just came out, or my daughter, or this and that, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me? This is what I tell parents. This journey is 50-50. It's 50% about your child and it's 50% about you, because God is not finished with your child and God is not finished with you. He's never finished with us. No. And if only we will allow him, I call it, we are being pushed into a heart surgery room. He's the best heart surgeon, but all we need to do is let him push us into the room and then he needs to perform that surgery, but we want to do it on our own. And this is why things don't go so well. He knows what he's doing, but we need to rest in him. We need to trust him. He knows best. But painful situations that's coming in our lives is oftentimes we ask, why, God, why? We need to ask him, God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing through all of this? Change my heart, oh God. Create a clean heart in me. Show me what is in my own heart. What you want change. And it's a lifelong journey. It will only stop the day that we die. And we need to be open to him. He says, the good work I have begun, you will complete it. No, I will. He will complete it. But we need to let him do that. You know, we are the clay in his hands and he's the potter. And this pressing process doesn't feel very good, but he's molding us, melting us so that he can use us, making us into that vessel, carrying his presence.
We hear terms like carry his presence and often act like we understand what that means. Zechariah promised that people from all over the world will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty. They were coming because they had to see for themselves how a place that was the brunt of cruel jokes from other nations becomes a place where the presence of God was to be found. Zechariah said on behalf of the Lord, "In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, 'Let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you.'" They took a firm hold of his robe. That is carrying the presence of God. Take a firm hold of him today. Ask God to create in you a heart that loves like he does, and then give you opportunity to see the power of his love when you and I can share that love with those who are difficult and those who are different from us. Once again, I'd like to thank Wilna for being a guest today. And if you want to know more about her, check our show notes for links to her webpage and even the link to her book, When Gay Comes Home. Now, this is a free download, and I do ask that if you want to download her book, When Gay Comes Home, please leave a donation to help support her ministry.
Remember, if you enjoy this podcast, we encourage you to share with others. And don't forget to like it and subscribe to it on your favorite podcast player and give us a review. We love 5-star reviews.
But 4.5 will be fine too. Until next time, keep it real, stay safe, and God bless. Out of the